This program comes from Sitka Physical Therapy, introducing new team members Mark Kasperwich and Nicholas Pilch, offering pre- and post-operative care, workplace ergonomic evaluations, as well as injury prevention programs for athletes. 747-4559 or sitkaphysicaltherapy.com.
And good morning. It is 16 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio, I have a couple of folks from the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association, or ALFA. Linda Bankin is the executive director, and Dan Falvey is the project coordinator. Welcome to Morning Edition, folks.
Good morning.
Morning, Melissa.
Well, we're here to talk about all the many projects that ALFA has going on and how the community can support those projects. But first, can we just give a little bit of background as to what ALFA is and how long it's been around, maybe, Linda?
Sure, yeah. ALFA was launched in 1978, so good longevity in this organization. Its mission is to promote sustainable fisheries and thriving fishing communities with a real eye towards helping the next generation and towards the future to make sure what we have now is still healthy and there for fishermen in the future. We're an organization that's run by fishermen primarily, mixed gear groups. So our name says longline, but that's not all we are. We have trollers, seiners, gill netters, and longliners. We have a number of different programs, and we come at sustainable fisheries in a lot of different ways, advocating for science-based management and policy, involving fishermen in collaborative research with each other, with scientists, to address some of the challenges they identify and working with them to find solutions. Connecting the people who love Alaska seafood with the fishermen themselves and with the resource issues that they face through our community-supported fisheries program, Alaskan Zone. And then an initiative to help this transfer of to the next generation, from the people who are actively involved now to the young people, and making sure that those young people who live in these communities continue to have access to healthy fisheries.
So in a nutshell, maybe sustainable fisheries and sustainable fishing communities.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about projects. Dan, what would you like to hit on first?
Well, just following what Linda said, most of the projects we're involved in come from the fishermen themselves. It's their ideas of how to provide solutions for some of the challenges they face. I guess one that's real timely is electronic monitoring, and I'm glad we could talk about that today. About 3 years ago, the National Marine Fisheries Service changed the rules about their observer program to include about 400 small boats that had never had observers before. So since 2013, all boats fishing for blackcod and halibut over 40 feet have had to log every trip with NIMS, and a portion are selected for at-sea coverage. And as we all know who live here, some of those boats are too small to carry a person. There's bunk space issues, the wheelhouse is too small to spread out all their stuff and still be able to eat at the galley table, and sometimes there's just no way to put them on deck safely. So we've been working to try and get an option on there for those boats to carry cameras, which turn on when they start hauling, take video images of the fish coming out of the water, and then someone back on shore goes through and counts them and identifies the species after the trip. A lot lower impact way of going at it. So for about the last 4 or 5 years, we've been working on that. The National Marine Fisheries Service was kind of lukewarm to the idea at first, but with the help of Senator Murkowski, they've come to become real good faith partners in trying to get a viable alternative for the fleet. And with the help of the National Marine Fisheries Service and the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, we've secured enough funding to equip 90 longline vessels in 2017 with electronic monitoring systems instead of having to take observers. And thanks to the Sitka Sound Science Center, we actually have the capacity in town to install those and support those programs in Sitka, Kodiak, Homer, Seward, and I think we're going to bring Petersburg online soon, too.
Wow, that's impressive.
The program's really coming together, and hopefully we'll get those units installed on the 90 boats, and then next year, before they go fishing, they just log their trip in, and if the system says you have to have at-sea monitoring, you just flip the switch and fish like you normally do.
So what's the next step after those 90?
Well, the timeliness is that those boats have to register that they want to be in the M pool by September 20th, which is just over 2.5 weeks out. And we'll be putting up flyers in the harbors and on some of the processing bulletin boards. And perhaps we'll try and post that on the Raven Radio website as well to get the word out.
Okay, so if you're a longliner, you want to be one of those 90 to test out this new technology, you need to be working on that right now and thinking about it and contacting Alpha.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So that's that. What about Baffy mapping? Mm. And I just have to, because I love saying Baffy metric mapping.
That's another one of the projects that really is grassroots as well. You know, when you look out the window and you see all the mountains and the valleys and all the islands off the coast here, the seafloor is exactly the same amount of structures. But when you look at a NOAA chart, it's really hard to pick out all those features and structures on it. And so most fishermen know that if you kind of know what's ahead of you, you can target your gear better to catch the fish you want and to avoid the fish you don't, like rockfish sometimes. So since 2008, we've been helping fishermen create these highly detailed maps of the bottom of the ocean and then sharing that data with a larger group of fishermen. And with the help of some special fishermen like Stephen Rhodes, we've actually been able to bring in Nobletech, who makes some of the navigation software most of the fleet uses here, to work with us to identify the features we as fishermen need to have in that software, and then to come to Sitka and provide training and one-on-one work with each fisherman to get the most out of those systems. And so it's been a real success story. We've got these great maps. We've got data in places that have never been mapped before. And I think this fall we're going to have another Nobletech workshop where fishermen can bring their computers down and work with the factory reps one-on-one to try and get the most out of that software.
When's that workshop going to be, you think?
We are still working with Nobletech to schedule that, but, and we'll be letting people know, but it'll be October, November is what we're targeting. And I think the real success of building those maps, there is software out there that can do sonar systems, that can do what we've been able to do working with our fishermen, but most of that equipment is way more expensive than our small boats could afford. But by getting fishermen to share data, working with us and working with Nobletech to then compile that data into a system and give it back to them that they can use on their boats, these interactive seafloor maps, we've really given them the kind of competitive edge and the success to be more viable in a really sort of challenging fishery in a way they can afford. And as Dan mentioned, it allows you to set your gear very cleanly and to catch the fishery after a while, avoiding those fish and those habitats that you know you don't want your gear to be in.
I'm hearing a lot of collaboration. I'm hearing a lot of innovative use of tech, all in the service of keeping our fisheries healthy and our fishing families healthy as well. Mm-hmm. You know, there's another really interesting program that I hadn't heard about that you folks are doing, and that's testing seafood freshness. Using tech?
Yes. One of the, I think, powerful outreach tools we have is our incredible seafood that our members harvest. And we share that seafood around the world, but we've really been working on bringing that to more Alaskans. Less than 1% of Alaska seafood that's harvested off Alaska stays in Alaska.
That's amazing. Number.
Yeah, we want to change that dynamic. And some of that, there's some real resistance in a lot of sectors to frozen seafood, even though flash frozen seafood can be the highest quality you can find anywhere. So we're working with Seafood Analytics, EcoTrust, and three other community-based fishing organizations right now to test using a tool that sends an electric current through a fish and then measures cell structure, which is a metric for the freshness of the fish and the quality of that fish, certifies it, saves that data, and we're shipping that down to the Food Innovation Lab in Oregon, in Portland, Oregon, where they'll be performing taste tests between this flash frozen seafood, certified as fresh prior to freezing, taste testing that against seafood purchased at local markets, including Whole Foods or supermarkets, that's fresh, never frozen, and seeing how people find that difference in that quality between those two. So that's a really interesting project that we're working on, and we think will help us with marketing seafood and with some of the efforts of our fishermen to gain the kind of recognition Alaska seafood deserves.
Freezing technology has really come a long way, whether it's frozen at sea or frozen on shore here, and I think, you know, as people learn more about the benefits of getting that fish frozen shortly after it's caught, as compared to keeping it fresh for the whole transportation cycle to the restaurants and the markets, will really improve understanding of how good Alaska seafood is.
Well, you know, you folks are doing a lot more, but we really only have time for one or two more questions. So how about we talk about how the community, how folks can support Alpha?
Well, we have members of our organization who are non-fishermen who just are excited about the work that Alpha does, and we always welcome that and the input from people in the community who want to support local fishermen. We also have a seafood raffle coming up where people can win. We have five winners of 10 pounds of seafood that includes king salmon, black cod, halibut, and rockfish, and FedEx to your door or to your family's door in some other state, free of charge, or that's on us if you're a winner. So the seafood raffle is our one big fundraiser of the year. We also look for people to be supportive of Alpha's Community Supported Fisheries Program, Alaskan Zone, participate in that where they are interested in seafood. And to look at all that we're doing, we have a wonderful website at this point. It's been recently redone that provides lots of information on Alpha's work.
And I might just add, you can buy those raffle tickets at Old Harbor Books or stop by the Alpha office. And there's only 750 sold, and there'll be five winners. So the odds of basically getting some great fish shipped anywhere you want are pretty good.
Great. Well, thank you both so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you,
Melissa.
We've been speaking with Linda Bankin and Dan Falvey with the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association, or ALFA.
This program is supported by the Larkspur Cafe, open 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., Tuesday through Saturday, and for Sunday brunch from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., now featuring a morning-to-go menu for espresso and breakfast items from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Larkspur Cafe, located at 2 Lincoln Street, 966-2326.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday, the 2nd of September, 2016. It's the birthday of the man who wrote the poem about the gingham dog and the calico cat who side by side on the table sat. That was Eugene Field, born St. Louis, 1850. He became a reporter for the St. Louis Evening Journal, worked for papers in Kansas City and Denver as well, went up to Chicago, worked for the Chicago Daily News, which offered him a column. He called it Sharps and Flats. And he also published light verse, especially for children. One of his early poems was Little Boy Blue, about a group of toys waiting for their owner, a toddler who had died. He wrote, Winkin', blinkin', and nod one night, sailed off in a wooden shoe, sailed on a river of crystal light into a sea of dew. Where are you going and what do you wish? The old moon asked the three. We have come to fish for the herring fish that live in this beautiful sea. Nets of silver and gold have we, said Winkin', blinkin', and nod. 1901, Vice President Teddy Roosevelt came to the Minnesota State Fair, and in a speech before several thousand people, he used the phrase, America must speak softly but carry a big stick. And it's the birthday of a hard luck novelist and journalist, Joseph Roth, born in Ukraine, 1894. He was a journalist after the end of the First World War, covering riots and assassinations, political uprisings all over Europe in the 20s and 30s, living in hotels for years on end, wrote his novels sitting in cafes in between newspaper deadlines. His one big hit novel, 1930, was Job, a retelling of the biblical story, and then set out to write a big ambitious book called The Radetzky March, 1932, a historical novel about the fall of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. It came out at a bad time. Hitler had just come to power in Germany. Roth had to flee the country. The Nazis burned his books. He spent his last years in Paris, living in poverty. He was alcoholic, died poor in 1939, unknown. It's only been in the last 10 years that all of his work has been translated into English. Here's a poem for today by Mark Strand. Oh, you can make fun of the splendors of moonlight, but what would the human heart be if it wanted only the dark, wanted nothing on earth but the sea's ink or the rock's black shade? On a summer night, to launch yourself into the silver emptiness of air and look over the pale fields at rest under the sullen stare of the moon, and to linger in the depths of your vision and wonder how in this whiteness what you love is past grief, and how in the long valley of your looking hope grows, and there, under the distant, barely perceptible fire of all the stars, to feel yourself wake into change, as if your change were immense and figured into the heavens' longing, and yet all you want is to rise out of the shade of yourself into the cooling blaze of a summer night when the moon shines and the earth itself is covered and silent in the stoniness of its sleep. A poem by Mark Strand from his new selected poems, published by Knopf and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, a monthly devoted to discovering and publishing new voices in poetry. More at poetryfoundation.org. And by Progressive Insurance, working to make progress for more than 75 years. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Do you like your blues party up-tempo? Maybe you just like to lay back a little bit when you're listening to your blues. Or maybe you'd like to get into a blues groove. You can have it all on Monday nights. Mississippi Delta Lines, your blues party place to be. KCAW, Raven Radio.
This is Bird Note. Sound recordist and photographer Garrett Vinn spent 2 years in the Peace Corps in the mountains of Lesotho. He met a chief who wanted the people to take better care of the wildlife, especially an extraordinary bird. Here's Garrett to describe what the chief did.
The first thing that he was able to do was to prove to the villagers that a bird that lived there called the lammergeier, or bearded vulture, was not a threat to their livestock. This bird is an amazingly big vulture. It has a wingspan of almost 10 feet. So the lammergeier is a species of vulture that basically eats bone marrow. It'll take bones from deceased animals, pick them up, soar with them in the air, drop the bones, and then they splinter open, and then it devours the bones. The people thought that these vultures killed their animals, which they didn't. So the chief built a corral beneath the nesting cliffs near his village, put a bunch of sheep in there and left them there for a long period of time. And the villagers saw that these sheep went completely unharmed. He then went and removed the sheep, put a bunch of bones in the area, and then the birds started coming and collecting the bones, breaking them and eating them. And the villagers saw this, and he had taught them a very simple lesson in such a basic way that this bird was not a threat to them or their livestock.
To see a truly exceptional video about the lammergeier, produced by the BBC, begin at our website, birdnote.org.
And good morning, just about 35 minutes after 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 55 degrees under mostly clear and sunny skies. And out at the Rocky Gutierrez Airport, winds are coming in from the east at 3 miles per hour. Expect sun today in Sitka, Port Alexander, Yakutat, Angoon, and Cake. Clouds today in Tenakee Springs, Hoonah, Pelican, and Elfin Cove. Should be sunny this weekend for all of our listening communities with highs in the 60s. Let's take a look at the local news stories we heard this morning. Sitka City Administrator Mark Gorman and Community Development Director Megan Bosack presented the city's first ever annual report at this week's Chamber of Commerce luncheon. In the report, a lot of things going right for Sitka, like how many people already work for local government and how many want to. But the presentation also addressed next year's projected $2.5 million operating deficit, and that's in the wake of dramatic losses in state and federal funding. Gorman explained that the city has reduced real spending by over $1 million this year and has reduced staff by 6 family wage positions. And the Sitka Assembly has proposed a partial remedy to the problem by asking local voters to consider increasing the property tax cap. The report will be published on Tuesday, and you'll be able to find it on our website, kcaw.org. We also heard how Alaska's earthquake simulator is touring the state. Wrapping up now in Juneau, they'll be in Sitka today. Tomorrow, you can find the earthquake simulator at the Fire Hall from 9 to 5. And on Sunday, you can find it at C-Mart from 1 to 5. The simulator is being brought to Sitka by the Sitka Local Emergency Planning Committee. And we heard how a sow and her cub likely got into a can of green paint in the Chilkoot River. Social media in Haines was abuzz yesterday with photos of the green pair. And biologists have examined the photos. They believe the bears have not been harmed. And you can listen to or read most of our news stories again on our website, kcaw.org. We're going to head there now for a really quick look at the community calendar, which, of course, you can access anytime. You can also go to the community calendar, click on it. It's very easy to post your own event and announcement in your listening community. Sitka Tribe of Alaska Health Committee is meeting today at noon at 110 American Street. Call 747-7293. Coming up at 4 p.m. today, a celebration of life for Rhonda Rhodes, daughter of Lois and the late Ron Rhodes. That's going to be at Sitka Lutheran Church. A reception will follow. Sitka Community Land Trust is meeting 6:30 p.m. this evening at Sealing Cove Business Center. And The Bills, a Canadian folk group, will perform at 7 p.m. today at the Sitka Performing Arts Center. Coming up on Saturday, there's a Baranoff Barracudas fundraiser at 5 at Dove Island Lodge, and a lot more going on. Check it out at kcaw.org. Let's take a look at the tides. At 8:10 this morning, we had a minus 0.5-foot low tide. Coming up at 2:25, we'll have a 9.8-foot high tide, and then at 8:26 tonight, a 0.8-foot low tide. The sun rose at 6:07. It will set at 7:53 this evening for 13 hours and 46 minutes of daylight and a loss of 4 minutes and 44 seconds over yesterday. And you can still pick up a Raven radio raffle ticket. Those are on sale for 2 round-trip tickets on Alaska Airlines. Pick them up at the station weekdays this Saturday at the Sitka Farmers Market or call 747-5877. The drawing will be held on Friday, October 21st. Well, no cruise ships in Sitka today. Tomorrow, the Seabird will be in at the Petro Dock with 62 passengers, and on Sunday, the Sea Lion with 136. It's just about 8:39, so we're heading back to NPR. Thanks so much for joining me this week. Have a great weekend. It's a holiday on Monday, so enjoy it. It's 8:39.
For programming on Raven Radio comes from Murray Pacific, stocking a large selection of Extra Tufts, Grundons, Helly Hansen, and Red Ledge. Murray Pacific opens 7 days a week at 475 Catlin Street.
From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, an ad for timber sales along salmon streams got the attention of some folks in Southeast. Meanwhile, in Wrangell, the shift from a timber town to a maritime one hit a milestone recently, and it could hail an expansion in the boatyard. And writing a letter home after a summer